I don't know how many of you can think of a time in your life where you experienced real hospitality, but I want to encourage you to just try to think of that for a minute. Think of a time in your life where you experienced true, generous hospitality, where you could, you felt like you could just really rest in the presence of another person, be yourself, let loose, feel at one, commune with them. Can you think of a time like that? I can think of a time like that. Did it have anything to do with luxurious table settings and extravagant meals made with lots of appetizers and gorgeous desserts? Probably not. It certainly didn't in my case. When I think of times in my life when I have encountered real hospitality, it's not been in those occasions where people have been entertaining me, right? Where entertaining is going on. I think back in my own life to the table of my grandmother, who really most of the stuff that she served on her table, she grew out of her garden and canned. It was down in her cellar. She'd pull it up whenever anybody came, and there was always enough for everybody. The passage today says, "Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God." And today I just want to think a little bit about hospitality. What does it mean to be hospitable people? When many people think of the word hospitality, I think, you know, images of gorgeous table settings in Southern Living or Ladies' Home Journal or whatever it is that these magazines that come out come to mind, or ideas of, you know, delicious dinners, seven-course meals. But that's not really what hospitality means in Scripture. In the Christian tradition, hospitality means welcome. It means the welcoming of a guest. The Greek word for hospitality is xenios. And it's interesting, the little town Xenia in Ohio is named after this, xenios. And that concept of xenios in Greek culture meant that there's a kind of a communion that ought to be apparent between guest and host. And actually the word xenia means both guest and host. The same thing is in Latin. The word hospice, from which hospitality comes, is a word that means both guest and host. And it refers to the kind of relaxation that ought to be, and the welcome that ought to be present when guests are with hosts. It speaks of common life more than of entertaining. And what's interesting to me about this notion is that, you know, we live in a culture in which having a common life sometimes is not something we're all that familiar with. I was reflecting the other day that, you know, for the last number of decades, since the introduction of the television into American life, it's very kind of common now to see people gathering in evenings around the television in their own particular individual homes. And then when they go out the next morning, the things that they talk with their friends or neighbors about are things that they encountered together on the television the night before, right? So in place of a community square in which people would meet each other, you know, when I was young, I worked in a butcher shop, a small butcher shop. People would come in, I would know their name, you know, and they would know that the first thing I was going to say was going to be a joke, you know. I want 3 pounds of ground chuck. Oh, would you like to? You like me to wrap that up, or you want to take it with you? You know, there we knew people's names, we knew who they were, but as time has gone on, that kind of community has started to gradually disappear around the country, and people find more commonality in things that they have encountered together in media, which is kind of weird to me. So where are those places that we can really find community again? Is it possible to find community again? Carrie and I were driving around northern Granville last night, and we came across a campground. There's a little campground out there. And it's interesting. You know, why do people spend their weekends at a campground? Well, I think a lot of people, for example, they own campers, And so they go out and they're with other people who own campers. They enjoy the same kinds of things. And so they can walk around the neighborhood, compare each other's campers and their tire sizes and whatever, whatnot that they enjoy with each other. And it becomes a way of networking with people who share common visions and values. And that's the kind of community we tend to find being created. People create associations of people that are similar to them, that share some common values, or share a common language, or share a common lifestyle, or whatnot. But is that exactly the kind of life that's envisioned in the New Testament? I'm not really sure that that's what Paul is getting at when he asks people to be in communion with each other, when he says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And the reason is this. I think that when people from very different cultures started conglomerating in these different places around the Mediterranean basin, in communities that were interested in the way of Jesus, they really had striking differences with one another. Some of them were religious Jews and ethnic Jews who had their own language, had their own set of cultural norms, the ways that families interrelated and whatnot. And in were coming people who knew nothing about that tradition, Gentiles who didn't have those same cultural norms. They didn't even speak the same language all the time. Their common language might have been Greek. They came in with different expectations of how people were going to interrelate with one another. Imagine, in America, two very different social settings. Just imagine two of them that you can choose. And imagine being thrown together and having to be community with one another. And how irritating that might be to some of us. But that was happening in the ancient Near East. Different people were attracted to this vision of the way of Jesus and were coming together, and Paul was trying to convince them, listen, you can be community together with each other even though you don't share some common interests and values in some areas of life. Think about the campground culture just for a minute. I'm using it as an example. Not that I don't like campgrounds. I love campgrounds. I think it's kind of fun to hang out in campgrounds. But let's use it as an example. In campground culture, let's say people come to those campgrounds because they have something similar with other people that go to campgrounds and like going to campgrounds. And so when person A meets person B, they're connecting this way because they have some similar kind of value. But that's not the kind of community Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about we are one. Listen to this words. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you. The vision that Paul has is that in Christ, and when he says in Christ, he's using shorthand here for each of you groups of followers of Jesus in these various communities around the Mediterranean basin need to act as little Jesuses in your neighborhood. You need to do the ministry of Christ, to speak the word of Christ. And so you all together are in Christ. You're one in Christ. So Paul is saying, in Christ, you know, person A meets person B in Christ, in those values that bring us together in Christ. Love for God, love for neighbor as the center of human life and as the purpose of human life. When we come together in Christ with those values, then it doesn't matter whether we're different. Person A or person B is different because you're coming together in Christ, in those common values, for that common purpose. And this idea of hospitality is really engaging, and it's actually what created an explosion of the early church, because what Paul was saying is you don't have to have things in common with people in order to be community. These accidental things. You don't have to go to the same restaurants or like the same foods or watch the same television programs. You can have all sorts of different people that can connect, not with one another laterally at first necessarily, the way that society connects people out there by the same class, same ethnicity, same language group, same cultural traditions. You can connect together in Christ. And anybody is welcome to do that because we all, down deep in our hearts, are hardwired to know that the purpose of life is to love God, the source, and to love others as we love ourselves. And so that connection in Christ is what's the basis of Christian hospitality. And that hospitality, when Paul is saying, welcome one another, what he's saying is draw people together into the community of Christ. Draw people up there where your common values meet, without regard for where they're from or where they're at in life. It doesn't matter, Paul says. And so this encouragement to be hospitable is built on the recognition that we have already been received. And since we have already been received graciously by a God who accepts us just as we are, we can graciously receive anybody just as they are, right into that same community. That's risky hospitality. And that's not what we usually think of when we think of the hospitality that's talked about in typical American culture as hospitality as entertaining. Usually you invite other people to your house who you have something in common with, right? You don't just go out into the highways and byways and compel the lame and the diseased and the poor to come in, as Jesus says at the parable of the great banquet, right? This idea of hospitality is pretty radical. And it defines what the church is and how the church is different than any other kind of social club. It's because we find our unity in Christ. And what it implies is that as our gratitude for having been received spills over into our life, it manifests itself in very particular ways, like sharing our resources with others we might not normally share our resources with. Sharing our resources of time and talent and treasure. It's kind of hard to embrace that notion because we live in a culture that's sort of formed by the market. And more than we know, perhaps, all of us are formed by consumerism and the ideas of competition and individualism. They shape our lives. But the countercultural image of hospitality that Paul is giving is asking us to welcome people in. Welcome people in. That welcome can take the form of listening. It's a beautiful little picture I used to see a lot when I was growing up in churches. They were often in church basements. Little framed picture of Jesus with a little garden. It was always the white California Jesus with the beautifully laundered robe. You wonder how it got so clean with all the walking through the dusty Galilean streets. And he's knocking at a door, right? And there's the verse under it from Revelation that says, remember this verse? I'm knocking at the door. If you open it and let me in and receive you and receive me, I will come in and sup with you. It's Jesus knocking at the door. That image of us opening our hearts to the other is a really beautiful image, and it starts with this. Those of you who have ears to hear me knocking at the door. It takes listening. Hospitality starts with our listening for the voice of the other to see. If this is a person God's asking me to invite in, listening is a real important part of hospitality. And if you think back to that time that I told you to think of where you were really truly welcomed, I bet you it was a time where your host was listening to you. They weren't just there to convey information to you or get something out of you or climb the social ladder because you were invited to their party. They were there for you. They wanted to know you, and they wanted you to know them. Another way to share our resources is to share our home. And I'm not talking about, you know, throwing huge parties. One author said, home is a place where you feel free to open the fridge and get something to eat whenever you want to. How many people feel like they could come over to our house and open the fridge and get something they eat whenever they wanted to? There are some people in this church who I know that's true. A lot of people feel like they could come into their house and get something out of their fridge because this is a pretty hospitable congregation. But making a home for people is very important. It's a part of our hospitality. To create a culture within ourselves that says, you're welcome to be part of my life. And hey, what's mine is yours. You can see how that implies risk. Because we have the risk, we open ourselves to the risk of being misused, of abused, of people taking, and never giving back. And that's why Paul says, meet in Christ. True hospitality is when both parties are meeting in Christ, right? In that common life of love of God and love for one another. Some ways that we can be more hospitable, and I was thinking about this week. I think, you know, all of us want to be more hospitable. What about welcoming people into the ordinary parts of our lives and communities? If we're going out for a walk, what about calling somebody else up and saying, hey, you want to go with me? We're going anyway to such and such at such and such a time. Why don't you come along? Sharing meals and holiday celebrations with people who are usually overlooked. That's something all of us can do. Making a place for a neighbor who's recovering from surgery, or for students who are coming into our neighborhood from elsewhere, or a place for alienated teens or refugee families. All these things are opportunities for hospitality. As congregations, you know, sharing meals together is very important. It's a way that we say, I want to be part of your life and I want you to be part of mine. Reestablishing connections between home and church, I think, are really important. We have such a strong division between public and private, right? This is where we do church, but here's our homes. If we're really a community, the way that these New Testament congregations were communities, then that becomes blurry because we're part of a common life together. Doing things like going to the 5 F's weekend, which I'm never going to be able to remember the title of, but is it the Fun Fellowship Fall Festival? Fabulous Fall Festival of Fun and Fellowship. It's going to be a good way, right, to be encouraging just that knowing of one another that creates a common life of listening and being listened to and growing together. Lee Spitzer, who is a church leader in New Jersey, made a useful distinction one time when he was talking to people at a conference. He said, we all have acquaintances, we all have church friends, we all have social friends, and we all have very close friends. And every single person needs all those kinds of people. Every single person needs all those kinds of people. Acquaintances, kind of church friends, social friends, close friends. And not everybody has to be the same kind of person. In order for us to be community, that doesn't mean every single one of us has to be close personal friends that we're going to share the deepest, darkest secrets of our lives with. But what about inviting more people into a closer circle of friendship for you? That's a way to be hospitable and to show that we want to be in community. Another way that our gratitude for having been received by God spills over in the form of hospitality is in our commitment to stay put in our relationships with other people. Our culture shapes us really to be ready to move on for more money, a more fulfilling church family, or a less difficult marriage, whatever it may be. We're taught that by choosing the newer or the better and by discarding the old and troublesome, we will certainly find happiness. But this is exactly, right, what the market society with its relentless advertising campaign would want us to believe. This vision of hospitality is different, right? Christian hospitality claims that the aim is not really self-fulfillment through discarding or running away from whatever is troublesome. Rather, Christian hospitality assures us that we will find fulfillment as we try to meet with whatever is old and troublesome in the heart of God, in that third place that we will often find there, the common values which can build community and bring us together. That is, the idea of hospitality is not really about adding value to ourselves through picking and choosing who or what appeals to us over what doesn't appeal to us. Christian hospitality is more about discovering the joy of faithful relationships and real spiritual and emotional growth in that very process of coming together with people who have difference. Another way that that being received of God spills over into the form of hospitality is finding ourselves able to honor and learn from those whom society has often abandoned or marginalized. And this was very important in the growth of the early church. I was reading some things from early church history this week and came across a couple quotes that I thought were interesting. In the early church, people in the community that were outsiders were gathered in quite often, and it caused a lot of problems because we had to pay for their care. People had to pay for their care and support them. But here's what Aristides said, who was an early commentator on this phenomenon, second century. These Christians, they love one another, and from widows they do not turn away their esteem. They deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly, and he who has gives to him who has not without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him into their homes and rejoice over him as a very brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brethren after the spirit, and brethren in God. In another defense from the second century, Justin Martyr, who's famous for his idea of invisible Christians, describes the community's weekly practice of collecting offerings and depositing them with a group of leaders who will care for the orphans and widows and those who, through sickness or any other cause, are in want, and those who are in bonds and the strangers sojourning among them. And in a word, they take care of all who are in need. And from this growth of people caring for those who are at the edges of society came a movement that were called hospitals, right? Where people would gather together in communities to care for the sick. This is the beginning of our word hospital. It came from hospice. As this movement continued to grow, even in the face of persecution, it's interesting that the Roman emperors at one point start complaining against the priests of Roman temples around the empire. And this is what Julian in 362 wrote to priests who were supposed to be supporting Roman imperial faith. "Why do we not observe that it is these Galileans' benevolence to strangers," Galileans were the word for Christians, he's using it derogatively, "their benevolence to strangers, their care for the graves of the dead, their pretended holiness, these things have done the most to increase atheism." So he instructed his priests that hostels in every city should be established for strangers and ordered a distribution of food for the poor and strangers and beggars, writing this, "For it is disgraceful that whenever no Jew has ever to beg, and these impious Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well, and then our people see that our citizens lack aid from us, it is an embarrassment. Teach those of our Hellenic faith to contribute to public service of this sort," he says. Now, it's interesting that they tried to do that but failed. And those institutions didn't last very long. And the reason they didn't last is because they could mimic the practice, but they couldn't mimic the mindset. And the mindset is this, that I don't have to know that this person has anything in common with me in order to find my unity in Christ. And to find that we need to come together in Christ, that we are indeed all one. And it was that mindset of being able to create community and fellowship in Christ that kept the service flowing. How do we in our own culture and age respond to God's welcome to us by inviting others into our common life? I think we all want to be more hospitable. I certainly do. But often I think, you know, I'm discouraged because I feel like hospitality would require of me spending a lot of money for extravagant meals or entertaining or providing extravagant lodging for people, when really the greatest treasure any of us have to offer is our welcome. And that often requires very little monetary expense, but it does involve some risk. It involves that we risk some vulnerability, that we expose ourselves to misunderstanding sometimes, lack of appreciation, lack of reciprocity, and even rejection. We risk loss as the people we have welcomed into our lives move on, whether it be to a new town or to a new relationship or even into their final home. But it's only when we offer genuine welcome to others, that is, when we take a chance, that we find ourselves in them, as we find each of us in God. The paradox that's at the center of the Christian faith, remember, is that it's in giving that we receive. And our hospitality indeed turns out to become a gift to us. So I encourage you this week, what are you going to do to become more hospitable? Maybe it doesn't start with an action. Maybe it starts with a new way of seeing others as others in Christ, in whom we already have connection through God's Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Loving Spirit, we ask that you build bonds that cannot be broken among us, and not only among us in this room, but us and other people worshiping in different congregations in this town, between us and other people of different faith traditions in the world, between us and people who consider that they don't have a faith tradition. Help us to find again that down deep in our hearts, there's a core that understands your purposes in the world, that we are hardwired to want to love all that is, to love you and to love others as ourselves. And help us to find true fellowship in that. Open our eyes that we can see. Open our ears that we would listen to those who have needs around us. And open us to move towards your more peaceable realm. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.